And Carl is with us. Hey, Carl.
What is happening, Drew? What's going on?
Carl, you must be so fired up about the Bills.
I am beside myself. It's very exciting.
How good was the party? Do you host a party every Bills game?
Yes, every Bills game, we have people over to the house. I have to tell you how Buffalo is dealing with this right now. I was listening to the radio on Sunday morning after the Saturday night game, and they're already talking about that Taron Johnson 101-yard pick six.
Yeah.
Greatest moment in Buffalo sports history. That's how long it's been since the Bills have had a good team. People are like, we're going to be talking about this 25 years from now, and they're probably right. Probably will be.
That was a great play.
I would have thought that the four-year run, there wasn't there anything to get them into the Super Bowl that would have been bigger?
Yeah. Oh, for sure. There was the comeback game against the Raiders.
A second. Weren't they down? What's the Frank Reich game?
Yeah, that was the Frank Reich game. Yep.
Oh, okay, that is the Frank Reich game.
Who cares?
That was insane.
Like a single play, like the biggest single play in Buffalo sports.
You cannot top the Frank Reich game with that play. No way. No way.
I know, but that was a long, long time ago. People on the radio didn't see that game. They don't remember it. It was very long time ago.
And the 101-yard interception return, that is a 14-point swing. I mean, yeah, if Baltimore goes in and scores there. I think it's people are downplaying Justin Turner's two doinks off the upright. That was huge. Greatest kicker in NFL history. Oh, Tucker, I'm sorry.
Yeah, that was big. I just am wondering, do Bills fans think they can beat Kansas City at Kansas City? Because Arrowhead is a bitch to play in.
I do. I do think the Bills can win. They have a better defense now than they did when they played them earlier in the season. That was a close game when they played them. Their offense didn't play great. Their offense is better now. Kansas City is awesome. Very well coached. Have a ton of weapons. They're favored, and they should be. But if anyone has a chance, it's the Bills.
I think the Bills have a chance because anything is possible, right, Mark?
That's what I've heard. I've heard anything is possible.
On Lamar Jackson.
You know that's already on a billboard, I think, in Kansas City? Him running on that long third down play, and it says anything is possible. I don't know if that's Nike or what.
Got quite a shelf life, doesn't it? They're going to look kind of silly after they win the Super Bowl in 2 weeks or after they lose next week.
Why are you hating on Chad Henne the last
time? Hating on him.
Jeez.
One scramble for 14 yards.
In the fourth down play.
Fourth down play was great. I agree. Okay. Anything can happen. Lamar Jackson, after that game, I swear, I don't know why this was happening to me during the game. I was like, Lamar Jackson is very beatable. I don't know why he seems so beatable every time he loses, and yet when he's got all the space to do what he needs to do, it's like, you can't stop him!
Well, they're one-dimensional. I thought coming in, McDermott would have a game plan against them because McDermott's a brilliant defensive coordinator. He knows how to scheme shut down teams like that. So I was very confident. I'd rather play the Browns, but I was very confident going into that game.
Yeah, if you could stop them from running.
Boy, the drop people just aren't going to give Buffalo any breaks at all, unless I can tell. Carl, how are the drops on Who Are These Podcasts? Are you expanding your drop library?
Yeah, you know what? I actually gotten some drops from Brandon because I get so used to hearing certain ones on this show that I enjoy. So, yeah.
I thought I heard a couple. I was like, it sounded good, too.
Yes. I think I love the hot take one. That works almost all the time.
Oh, did you play that?
Yes, I have played that a few times.
I gave you credit for having it on your own because you have a couple other Simpson drops that we've always played that I heard when I first heard Who Are These Podcasts, which is kind of weird. Did anybody see or hear the audio of Hillary Clinton's podcast?
No.
With Nancy Pelosi. You want to go to TMZ at 3:03 today? And we'll play it. And I'm curious what you guys think because, you know, all this business of we got to take these things off the platform. It's dangerous. And I wondered if anybody had the same reaction I did, which was that, that seems a little conspiratorial. I don't believe you have evidence to back that up, Hillary Clinton. Not that I'm really crazy about taking things off platforms or reducing freedom of speech. It's just that, I mean, since it's going on, naturally, I was interested in what was said on this podcast.
I'm Hillary Clinton, and I do not approve that message.
Boy, does she hate Donald Trump a little bit or what?
Yeah.
She went to his wedding.
When they go low, you go high.
Trump's a Democrat. Let's not forget that, people.
He gave money. Okay, here we go. Check this out.
And I haven't given up on her yet.
Trump and what he was doing as the riot went down. She threw out a theory that, as far as we know, she has nothing to back this up. But this is what she had to say. Listen to who she thinks Trump might have been on the phone with during the riot.
I would love to see his phone records to see whether he was talking to Putin the day that the insurgents invaded our capital. But we now know that not just him, but his enablers, his accomplices, his cult members have the same disregard for democracy. Do you think we need a 9/11 type commission to investigate and report everything that they can pull together and explain what happened?
I do. What happened last week was a gift to Putin, because Putin wants to undermine democracy in our country and throughout the world. And these people, unbeknownst to them, maybe, are Putin puppets.
Well, you and I are getting in an argument here, Charles.
We don't need to hear Harvey. Any comments?
It's too bad she's so monotone, because she could have delivered it as a joke, you know, about him being on the phone with Putin. But she has no inflection in her voice. Hillary?
You know, I'm slightly surprised, by the way, that his phone records aren't known for what was going on during that. It just seems like we would know that by now, because we know everything about him immediately.
Sure was perfect.
What was perfect?
His phone call. It always is.
Oh, yeah. Oh, I'm sure it was.
Another Hillary lie.
I don't know. It's stupid. Frankly, I don't care what either one of those have to say, Hillary or Nancy Pelosi.
Yeah, I don't think they're terribly objective. And but they're trying to unify. Everybody's trying to unify the country, and they're doing their part. Carl, any comments?
I don't know who's listening to that show, because there is such an echo chamber of a show. Could you imagine if you weren't far, far left? Could you imagine listening to that, just being like, oh, I wonder what these people have to say?
No.
It's insane.
I wonder if anyone does listen to it. I'll have to. Usually when I look stuff like that up, I get really upset, because, like, oh, God, it's number one in the world.
Well, but, you know, it's funny, because that Michelle Obama podcast, which you guys played some clips of, it's unlistenable. That got forced on people so hard by Spotify. I was getting emails from Spotify. Michelle Obama's podcast is out. Like, I know. I'm very well aware of that.
Do you know, I got to tell you, I was...
The market's a little oversaturated.
I was a little shocked. I know, but don't these people have enough advantages in the podcast world due to their celebrity? Here's Extra, which I have on today. Billy Bush does Extra. I'm glad he got a job again. I don't think he ever deserved what happened to him. But Rob Lowe is on, promoting his podcast. Literally. And they play a bunch of drops from him saying literally on Parks and Rec. And I just thought, oh, I really, really? His podcast? And then they get to, well, tell us what's different about your podcast. And Rob says, I ask people questions that nobody's ever asked them. Which is exactly what Alec Baldwin said about his podcast, by the way. And Billy Bush is like, oh, like what? He's like, oh, like I'd ask you about your hair. Really? We've heard his podcast. He asks people questions like, remember, when did you meet me exactly?
Yeah. By the way, every single person who does an interview style podcast thinks they ask questions nobody else does. And almost none of them do. This is so funny, because yes, they're all boring podcasts. They have to pretend like I get information out of people you would never get out of them. Yeah. It's because nobody cares about that information.
You know, I'm kind of questioning the whole guest-oriented podcast in a lot of cases, because I feel like the great majority of them get nothing out of anyone.
Right. Yeah, they're usually boring conversations. It's a very similar to when you watch late night and it's all set up. If you have a publicist, you are not going to be a good interview.
Right, because they know everyone knows the questions and the answers ahead of time.
Yeah, it's all scripted. They know exactly what they're going to talk about, whatever anecdotes they're going to throw out there to be cute. And it's not interesting. And I think that's why, Drew, you and I have talked a lot about Howard Stern. And the best parts about the Howard Stern show these days are when he has celebrities on, because he does do a good job. And they're not ready for the questions. You can tell. It's a real conversation.
Oh, no, they'll go long, long. Matthew McConaughey was on for a couple hours. And, you know, it's funny. I was really not listening to Howard at the end of 2020, because it was so much about COVID and politics. I couldn't stand to listen to it. It was just triggering. I just didn't want to hear about those topics at all. I didn't care what he said. And then I noticed his first shows this year, he seemed to be back having fun again. It was a lot of... Whack Pack and just the various members of the show and just talking about regular stuff. And I was like, wow, this is the show I like. And he was impersonating his mom, which I always laugh at. I don't know why, but I do. And his dad. I mean, that sounds like really tepid stuff, but it's so much better than...
No, I want you two to kiss each other.
There is a place for politics on a show like Howard's, but he got so deranged from it. It wasn't fun in any way. No matter what side you're on, the way he would talk about it, you're like you always say, when a politician talks, I always feel worse afterwards. That's how Howard Stern was. Like, when you listen to a show, you're like, oh my God, the sky is falling and everything's over. This sucks.
Yeah, and also the fact that he's right, he's 100% right, and the other side is wrong.
That's a little goofy, and everyone on his staff has to agree with them. And if one person disagrees with them, like Ronnie was going to vote for Trump, they all had to pile on and tell him what an asshole he was. Like, all right, one person can disagree with you. It's not that big a deal.
Carl, you were going to talk about, I don't know, did you send cuts over for the Sibling Revelry podcast?
I did. This is a podcast hosted by Oliver and Kate Hudson. And so, you know, they're going to do a cute little...
This will be adorable.
For about a year now.
Because none of us know what it's like to be siblings.
To learn through these celebrities.
This has to be a way to get Oliver some income, I believe. Is that what it is?
I imagine it is, because they definitely have some good sponsors and ad reads going on. Uh-huh. But also, could you imagine two people who are more out of touch with reality? You're raised by celebrities. They're celebrities. They've always had everything going on. And I picked up an episode where they talk to Paris and Nikki Hilton. So you can only imagine. Very relatable content. I'm sure you can imagine.
Yeah, I listened to a little bit of it. Not as much as you did. But yeah, I was intrigued to hear about it. I heard them doing a commercial for a furniture store. Did I hear that correctly, Carl?
Yeah, some store you can buy furniture online. Yeah,
I mean, that was an ad, right?
Yes.
Okay. I don't know why the idea of Kate Hudson and her brother Oliver really pushing this furniture store seemed so funny to me.
Oh, it's absurd. Mark, did you get my clips, buddy?
I do. I got them all ready to roll.
Why don't you take us into a clip?
Now, what Oliver and Kate do is they talk about the interview that they did, and they set it up, and this is what you're about to hear, and this is what we're going to do. You know, they tell you all the stuff that's going to happen for some reason. Totally unnecessary. But listen to this clip, track one.
We both literally watched the Paris Hilton documentary before we did this interview.
Yeah.
Okay, good. That's called
prep.
I didn't
mean to say they literally watched the documentary. It makes me think they don't normally do prep. Like, if there's somebody out who wrote a book, like, oh, yeah, we read the book. Yeah, the book's great. Literally watched a movie. Okay, well, congrats.
And the overuse of the word literally kind of is a little annoying.
It is. So do you guys remember back in September, the documentary This Is Paris?
Oh, yeah.
Yes. Out? Yes.
This is what this podcast is mainly about. And it's so funny because in this documentary, if you guys remember, I think you guys were playing the trailer. Mm. What happens is Paris is talking about how she was sent to this boarding school, this Provo Canyon school, where she was tortured for months. And it was a really big deal. I think it's funny because she thinks that her parents being too strict really screwed her up as a person. What I did was I pulled something from the beginning of the interview and then fast forwarded 35 minutes towards the end of the interview. Paris has learned nothing from her childhood. Play track four.
Yeah. Do you think that because she was so strict, it made you sort of rebel a little bit more? Meaning if she opened the world up to you in LA a little bit and was like, yeah, look, you're a young girl and, you know, go experience a few things and you can wear a little makeup here and there. I mean, do you think that things would be different?
I do believe that. I think when you are very strict, like my mother was, it just makes you want to rebel.
I have a feeling that Paris will be a strict parent.
I think about that a lot as well, because when I was a teenager, I was like, one day when I have kids, I'm not going to let them do whatever they want. But now that I know how it is to be a teenager, and I know, you know, especially now how dangerous it is, it's really scary, like the things I'm seeing.
Wow.
I think I will be really strict.
Oh, my God. That's pathetic. They're phoning it in.
You know, Carl, also, they talk about how, she talks about how strict her parents were, like, oh, my God, and my sister told on me, and it was terrible. And then 5 minutes later, she's talking about being in clubs when she's, like, 13 in New York.
Right. I know, and it's so funny because there's a lot of leading the witness going on, because Oliver's going, yeah, but you were just enjoying dancing. You weren't doing drugs and stuff. And Paris like, no. Right. Yeah, yeah, I wasn't doing drugs and stuff. Of course she was.
He doesn't not know.
A 14-year-old sneaking out to go to clubs in New York is a very bad idea.
I do love the fact, didn't they live in a hotel too? So they're sneaking out of a hotel, which wouldn't be that hard to do.
They stayed at the Waldorf.
Yeah, come on.
Manhattan, yeah. All right, so it's funny because, as you guys know, this was a very traumatizing thing that happened in Paris's childhood, being sent off to this school. And the question is, did your parents ever apologize to you for what they put you through, Trek 5?
Did they ever apologize to you, ever?
We talked about it recently, like after the film came out.
Yeah.
They were just in shock and just so upset and couldn't believe what had happened.
Mm-hmm.
So they said, I'm so sorry. Like, if we had ever known this, there was no way we would ever send you there. But they had no idea.
Why wouldn't you say something earlier?
They communicate with each other through media. They had to find out 20 years later because of a documentary. That's why I'm just not buying it. I'm not buying this story. I think she made it up because she realized she didn't have a good story for her doc and needed to come up with something.
Honestly, how much conflict did she have in her life that would make an interesting documentary? Very little. So she manufactured this.
Right. It was supposed to be about her, the businesswoman.
Does she seem like the kind of person that if she was, you know, being treated in this horrible way, she would say nothing? Oh, I would never tell my parents something like that. No.
No.
It's ridiculous.
That? It doesn't make any sense at all. So then she lays out some serious allegations, and I hope she can back this up because she is setting herself up here for a lawsuit.
Good.
Play my track 6.
Like, they need to be held accountable for these
is
things.
Is this place still in operation?
Yeah, they're still in operation. The abuse is still happening. And the people who work there are not qualified. Like, nobody really has a license. They're not trained therapists.
What?
It just really attracts very sadistic people who have power trips, who are pedophiles, who are abusive, and who really get off on abusing children and that power that they can have over someone. So it's just the people who work there are, it's unregulated. There's no rules. There's no laws.
Totally actionable. Did she name the place? I mean, it's publicly,
it's known. Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, wow.
They were talking about Provo Canyon. They said, does that school still exist? She says, yes. And everyone who works there is a pedophile. Like, whoa! You can't say that. What's wrong with you?
I do like the feigned concern by Oliver Hudson at the beginning of that question. He seemed like, listen to this. Listen how concerned
he is. Need to be held accountable for these
is
things.
Is this place still in operation?
He's so angry.
He's just he's aghast. It's the only word that would describe it.
How would Paris know that this is what's still going on there? She hasn't been there in over 20 years. And the answer is, she's talking to some of the students who have gone to that school. So these are kids who are out of control. They're spoiled. They don't like being told no. They've taken to a school because of their behavior problems. And then you ask them, hey, how were you treated at this school? It was terrible. I hated it. Yeah, of course that's going to be their answer.
You don't like anywhere you are.
Right.
You should see the reviews for this school online. It's hilarious. Oh. They're one star after like 100 and something reviews. Here's just an example from Eleanor Nielsen. I went here when Paris Hilton was here, and we were best friends, and then Paris Hilton got taken away and bashed up by the teachers at this school, and then I ran away and went home. It was so scary.
Bullshit.
Paris almost died. That's a one-star review.
Bullshit.
That's hilarious.
So I'm guessing all these one-star reviews are after her documentary?
Yes, they're all course. Within the last couple months.
Okay, great.
That's correct. People are having some fun with that. You might want to relocate and change the name of the school. The question becomes, because Paris is very successful in life, as I'm sure you guys know.
Oh, yeah.
So the question is, like, can you say that maybe this experience turned out to be a good thing because it led you to become who you are today? And that's my track 7.
Yeah, I think about that a lot. So I'm like, if I did not go through that hell, like, I don't know if I would be the businesswoman I am today or have that drive.
Wow. Let's talk about Paris Hilton, the businesswoman, because that was supposed to be the documentary. She puts her name on perfumes, handbags, and clothing. She also has a business where she makes money from appearances.
Mm. She's DJ. She has a song.
She does.
She had a hit record.
By the way, I'm not trying to shit on her business prowess or anything, but if you have a name because you're an influencer and a reality star and you had a sex tape out there and you just put your name on clothing and then it sells, seems like a pretty easy business plan to me. I don't know.
Well, doesn't it seem that those people are the ones who always are adamant about calling themselves business people?
Yeah, like the Kardashians.
I would say the more they say, use the term business woman, business person, business man, the less of a business person or businessman they probably are.
I've owned a business in my life, and I've never called myself a business person.
Well, that's from now on, Carl's only referred to as businessman Carl.
Oh, well, excuse me for being a fucking businessman.
Now, does Nikki ever speak in this podcast? I thought it was about siblings.
That's a great point. I didn't even realize that.
Is she on the podcast?
I'm glad you brought that up, because that conversation where Paris is talking about what a great business person she is comes after Nikki says, my biggest pet peeve with my sister is that she's always late for everything. We have a business opportunity that we need to get back to somebody on. She won't return my emails. She doesn't show up to meetings. I'm like, how good of a business person can you be if you can't be where you're supposed to be at a certain time? I'm not buying it. But all right, so they talked to Nikki about her meeting her husband. And I found this to be interesting. Play my track 8.
Well, what was it when you met your husband, now husband? What was, like, did you know right away that you're like, oh, I'm going to marry this guy?
I mean, it was definitely, I know it sounds cliche, it was a love at first sight thing.
Bullshit!
You guys know who Nikki's married to?
He's got to be a billionaire, right?
Yes, James Rothschild. This guy looks like a dweeb. There's no way it was love at first sight. I'm guessing it was like, you want to meet my friend James? She's like, not really. James Rothschild? Yes, I do want to meet James.
He's worth $2 billion. I want to meet him too.
Yes.
All right. Any more clips from Paris and Nikki?
Well, speaking of the siblings, you know they have two brothers, right?
Oh, yeah.
They have Baron and Conrad. So they ask about the brothers, and it's interesting how they only really bring up Baron and just kind of quickly wash past Conrad, track 3.
The black sheep.
My brother Baron just had a baby, and he's working with my dad's real estate company. And then I have a younger brother, and he's working in tech and on some apps.
Yeah, the boys kind of like skirted the spotlight a bit. Thank you guys.
All right.
What's the story?
Remember Conrad from a flight that he had on British Airways?
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Just talked about that, too, remember?
That's right, yeah.
Oh, did you realize? Yeah, mm-hmm. I looked it up. The CNN article talked about how he was yelling several times on this flight, I will fucking own anyone on this flight. They are fucking peasants.
What a businessman. He's going to own everybody on the flight. It's pretty,
Oh, my. Carl, do you get much out of the sibling revelry between Kate and Oliver? Does that come through?
Oh, yeah. They're so cutesy with each other. They're like singing the jingles together and trying out harmonies in real time. And they try to do this thing where they try to seem like it's like off the cuff and they're just hanging out. I saw some of the video of it. They're just like sitting on the couch and Kate's down on the floor and they have the laptop out and they're just kind of being loosey-goosey. There's a part in the beginning where they're setting up the interview. It's my track 2. Where they just get interrupted, and this is not a necessary thing to leave in the podcast.
And I remember I went to a beast. It's actually kind of what's happening?
It's Joey.
Tell Joey we're busy. This is Joey.
Joey.
Joey, we're busy. We're trying to do our podcast.
Joey.
Yeah.
We're doing the podcast right now.
What do you think about that, Drew?
That is some kind of laziness right there.
The funniest part about that is that Joey texted Oliver and then they called him back. They wanted to be interrupted. They wanted to make it seem like it was spontaneous and, whoa, what's going on here? Oh, someone's just interrupting us.
I got to tell you, it's kind of interesting what's going on with Joey and who Joey is. I really didn't care about the Hudsons one bit. Joey sounds kind of fun.
I tried to figure that out. I could not figure out who Joey is. I looked it up, but I couldn't figure it out.
I didn't realize Oliver Hudson's 44 years old. I with the way listening to him talk and
what is
background, I assumed he was like mid 20s.
Is this a fair question? What does Oliver Hudson do? I've never heard of him.
He's an actor.
Is he in stuff? Like real stuff?
Television shows.
What's that?
Brandon, look up Oliver. He's been in a bunch of television shows, none that I've ever watched, but pretty big shows.
Dawson's Creek. He was in The Creek.
Oh, was he? Okay.
Yeah, which, honestly, great.
Well, when Kurt Russell is your dad and Goldie Hawn is your mom and Kate Hudson is your sister, you should be in really big stuff.
Rules of Engagement is a show.
Hey, he was in Grown Ups too.
Oh, jeez.
All righty. Yeah, I mean, they've got the deck pretty stacked there, I would say. But yeah, it's just an adorable little podcast, and that's funny. I thought this was to make Oliver money. It just sounded so thrown out there. Not quite Dennis Rodman, but close. That this is Oliver needs a paycheck, but I guess Oliver has a paycheck. So
he's also married to a Miss Massachusetts Teen USA from 1981. So I'm going to high five him.
I thought she could say from 2017. Oh my. Well,
it's mandatory that every celebrity have a podcast now.
Yes.
So yeah. They probably had to do this. It was sanctioned.
Carl, your last show was on, what's his name? Trussell?
Yeah, Russell? Duncan Trussell. Are you familiar with him?
Duncan Trussell. I really wasn't, but I was really, that's a popular show, isn't it?
He got a Netflix show out of it. There's a Netflix cartoon that actually uses audio from his podcast. And it was pretty interesting. I checked it out. It was pretty good.
I gotta tell you, I was just so taken aback by some of the clips you had on WATP, particularly his first question to Russell Brand.
I thought this was so funny because he has Russell Brand on the show, and Russell's a bit out there, and so is Duncan.
He's got a podcast too.
Oh, of course. But Russell is a celebrity who's lived a pretty fascinating life, and there's probably a lot of things you could ask him about his life. The very first question that Duncan asks Russell is so convoluted and ridiculous. I have that as my track zero there.
Ram Dass was big on the soul. He would look out at the retreat and he would say, "I see you all as a soul. That's what I see." But and the Hare Krishna is also, you know, very much in any theistic religion has some component of the soul as the sort of mechanism that carries whatever the particular data of your identity onto the next incarnation. But where I always get mixed up is that sort of place where there's the universal soul and the individual soul, because somewhere in there I get really confused. Is the individual soul some kind of like quantum packet that has like a membrane that separates it from the universal soul? How does that work?
What
was the answer to that question?
What is the answer to that question?
What did Russell say?
No, could you imagine if you were on a podcast and that was the first question somebody asked you? Like, dude, I have not smoked enough. I am sorry. I'm not on the same wavelength right now.
I mean, if that was the 10th question, it wouldn't be any better. That's a ridiculous. What kind of a question is that? Does Russell Brand answer questions like that?
Did he at least ask about Katy Perry's nude body or something like that?
Thank you, Brandon. That's what I said on my show. Like, my first four questions would have been about Katy Perry's boobs. Yeah. He'd be the first four. I don't understand why that's what he's interested to learn from Russell Brand.
Well, I started listening to the WATP, and I'm like, this show can't be popular. And then as you went along, I found out that, oh, he's a friend of Joe Rogan's, and he's a stand-up, and he does a Netflix thing. I feel like really?
I think he's visually more recognizable than hearing his name, like if you see him.
I saw him. I looked him up, and I still didn't get things. It.
He's been in a ton of shows, in a lot of Funny or Die type stuff, Drunk History.
Yeah.
Yep. Drunk History, he's been on a few times. Also, Duncan's one of the guys who got in on podcasting pretty early on.
Oh, that helps.
Show, and they're up to 420 episodes, oh, wow, something like that. So he's been doing it for many years, which I think has probably helped him out because people went onto him early and have grown up with the show. So
what's on WATP this Sunday?
This Sunday, we're reviewing a show called Holistic Alpha Male Optimization.
Where do you find stuff like that?
I get suggestions from people, and they always send me reasons why I should check it out. And this one, the guy wrote in, he goes, "If you don't know what jelking is, then you have to check out this podcast." I'm like, I don't know what jelking is, so I guess I will check out this podcast.
Oh, I think it'll be appraised very reasonably.
Oh, wow. I see just the urban dictionary definition.
What is jelking, Carl? What is it?
I don't know. Brandon, go ahead. I haven't looked it up yet.
According to Urban Dictionary, it's the process in which you submit your penis to a series of twisting, jerking movements in order to increase its size.
Oh, that doesn't work. Well, you're going to lose girth.
Use it in a sentence.
You can't add volume to it.
Jelking, and it grew.
Oh, wow. Bullshit.
I'd like to see a documentary on that. I mean, I don't want to do. I want to do it and find out it doesn't work.
Really? I think Jared Porter probably was into joking. You know, if he's going to take those pictures. What did you think of that story, Carl? The Mets firing him.
Oh, you know what's funny? Did you guys see what the Cubs released a statement?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. The Cubs, of course, are horrified.
They said, we're going to hire him back just so we can fire him even faster than the Mets did. They want to be the ones that fire him the quickest.
Well, they could have, though. That's what's funny about it, because they knew. Someone in their organization knew.
No, they claim they didn't know.
Bullshit.
Yeah, I don't know. I'll just give you a review, Carl. I was, of course, these guys are all over me for this, but I thought that she led him on. Did you read the whole story?
I did, yeah.
I thought that she was very positively responding to him for a long time, and I think he is a goofy, nerdy type guy, obviously from the 62 unanswered texts after that point. But I just felt like he was just burned. Once this came out, it's like, he's done, and he made a mistake, obviously. The dick pics are inexcusable, but look at all the people that send dick pics. I mean, it's just... I don't know. I just thought it was kind of a burn.
If you fire everyone in MLB who sent a dick pic, we're going to have a league of their own again. Are you kidding me? Do you think that there aren't athletes that are up to no good all the time?
Of course.
This is not flying in baseball. No.
I felt bad saying that because, you know, obviously it was wrong what he did, but it just seems like the punishment is so much larger than the, I mean, I don't want to downplay what he did. I mean, sending dick pics to people that don't want them is terribly stupid, but there was so much explanation for why she misinterpreted what she was saying when she was sort of going along with him. You know, are you sure you're not married and all that stuff? And it's like, well, she doesn't understand the culture. She doesn't. Well, then why does she understand that the dick pic was bad?
Well,
right.
Yeah, just look at it. It's one of those things you know when you look at it. How, ugh.
That selfie he sent at the beginning was just ridiculous.
Here's my question, and this kind of where the answer, I think, lies in. How affected do you think she was by it? And there's really no way to answer if she was affected by it or I mean, she claims she is.
I'll answer that. I think that part is a little ridiculous. I mean, it implies that she has to leave the United States. She has to leave Major League Baseball.
Well, I'm sure there's a lot more to that, but yeah.
And I thought the guy apologized and he never bothered her again. So I thought that was unfair.
62, including the Hail Mary penis pic.
That's over 3 weeks. This is 4.5 years later now.
No, I'm not.
If anybody thinks I'm really off on this, please let me know. If this guy is just a horrible human being and should never be allowed near a position of importance again.
You're talking about two different things, because horrible human beings are constantly in positions maybe they shouldn't be in.
Well, I think you're right, and it's a generational thing. People don't realize maybe that almost every guy has sent a dick pic inappropriately in a certain generational class.
This, of course,
this happens probably all the time. Like, if Steve Trout does this, is he out of a job? I doubt it.
Steve Trout.
Well, I remember. Steve Trout. I cannot forget this. I cannot unremember this. I read a survey of, I believe they were 14 to 29-year-old women, and they were asking them, had they ever received a dick pic? And like 50% said yes.
Right.
And I have to believe that number is higher than that. And and of the dick pics of the girls they surveyed, I want to say like 60% of them said they were unwanted. So, right. You know, look at what these guys do. Nowadays, they just grow up. They think it's the most normal thing in the world. Girl sends you a nude picture and you break up. It's like, hey, check her out. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's fucking terrible. But it just goes on all the fucking time. And, you know, I really don't want to spend all that much time on this story. But, I mean, it was so detailed and so long. They had every last text message in there. And because I just
choose to laugh at his texting game and how weak he is.
It was terrible.
And not being able to read the room is hilarious. It's just funny to me.
I think the reason I was on his, trying to sort of help his side a little bit, I wasn't on his side by any means. But when I first read the story yesterday, and I read it about three times, it was very brief and condensed. And it just said, he did this, you know, he sent a dick pic, he did this, and it was unwanted. And it didn't have any of the beginning part of the conversation. I just felt it was unfair. And plus, it just seems, I just know ESPN is just orgasmic over there because they got this guy blown out. I mean, they've been holding the story for 3 years. Now, tomorrow, it may come out that he's done this 500 times since, and I'll feel like a total asshole. But if he really was apologetic and he stopped doing that and he doesn't still do it, I feel like it was a bit rough. That's all.
The zero tolerance thing too makes it terrible because give this guy his day in court at least. Have an interview with them, talk to him about it, something, because they blew him out before they even got a chance to talk to him, it seemed like.
I think teams like the Mets saying zero tolerance, they're going to find is a very dangerous thing to say.
That's my point. Yeah.
Well, I mean, after all, it is the team of Gooden and Strawberry and Lenny Dykstra and Kevin Mitchell. Yes. Remember, Kevin Mitchell cut off a cat's head in the 86 run. So
they've come a long way. Yeah. 2-0 tolerance.
Yeah.
All right, Carl. We'll be checking out WATP on Sunday. I always look forward to it. And you have good luck with the Bills. When's the game?
The game is Sunday, 6:40 Eastern. This is a big one. I'm excited about it.
How many people will be in the house of Carl?
I'm guessing we're going to have a dozen or more.
Okay, cool. Well, we'll be thinking about you.
Super spreader event, Carl's house.
It's probably going to be 36. He's lying.
Yeah.
All right, Carl, good luck with the Bills.
Cuomo's going to knock on the door.
I know.
Thanks, Carl.
Who are these podcasts? WATP.